You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast as always. Got some good stuff to talk about, man. Football season is here. College football, NFL, man, it's an exciting time for football fans. But first and foremost, man, before I kick into our topics for today, let's just talk about this Labor Day weekend, man. I hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. I had a lot of fun myself, man. We had a lot of food. I'm usually always in the gym working out and grinding, but man, I picked this past weekend to cheat, man, and just really eat whatever I wanted. I'm talking, we had the ribs going, we had the baked beans, cabbage, macaroni and cheese. Pops made some jerk chicken. We had peach cobbler. It was just overwhelming, but it was great. I mean, I had an outstanding time, and I hope y'all enjoyed it as much as I did, while at the same time staying safe, of course, wearing your mask and everything. But man, like I said, man, we got some good stuff to talk about. Let's jump into it. First and foremost, man, let's talk about some college football. So first and foremost, is Alabama the cream of the crop in college football? Let me start off by saying Roll Tide, first and foremost, man. You guys know I'm an alumni of the University of Alabama. What can I say, man? It's just greatness at its best, man. You can't make this stuff up. You just can't. You know, you got the greatest college football coach of all time in Nick Saban, 6 national championships, chasing 7. I mean, what more can I really say? But, you know, there's a lot of people who hate on Alabama out here, and that's okay. But just sit back, get your popcorn ready, relax, enjoy the show. But let's talk about the Alabama Crimson Tide, man. So they beat down number 14 Miami 44-13 on a neutral site in Mercedes-Benz Dome here in Atlanta, put up 501 total yards of offense. 354 of those yards came in the passing game, and 147 of those yards were rushing. So the offense dominated the time of possession by 15 minutes in this game. So Alabama had the ball for a total of 37 minutes to Miami's 22 minutes. Now, the defense was very impressive. They sacked De'Aaron King 4 times, and they forced 3 turnovers. Bama led 27-0 before Miami even crossed midfield. Now, let's look what they did. Let's separate the rushing and the receiving and look at what they did individually, you know, from the player standpoint. So Brian Robinson Jr., who's the lead back right now, had 12 carries, only 60 yards, but he did average 5 yards a carry, which is a positive sign. Anytime you can get 5 yards from a running back per carry, that's a good sign there. So Brian Robinson, man, he's a dog. He showed his ability to be physical, break tackles, and he can kill you if he gets to the outside. So continue to keep your eyes on him. You know, Trey Sanders, another guy. He had 8 carries, 41 yards. Not a huge day, but he also averaged 5 yards a carry and had a touchdown. Now Trey Sanders was actually en route to be the lead back in Alabama, but he actually had a car accident where he suffered a hip injury. So he was recovering from that. You know, Brian Robinson took over. Trey Sanders is the backup right now, but both of those guys, I think you got a great two-headed monster in the backfield if you're Alabama. And from the receiving standpoint, Jameson Williams, 4 receptions, 126 yards in a touchdown. And one of those, the touchdown that he actually caught was a 94-yard touchdown reception where Bryce Young threw a beautiful pass and where Jameson actually burned the defense and took it to the house. So great play with the connection between those guys. And then you got John Metchie III. He has 6 receptions, 76 yards, and 1 touchdown. Actually scored the first touchdown for Alabama to get things kicked off. And then you had Cameron Latu, the tight end, who had 3 receptions, 43 yards, but 2 touchdowns out of those 3 receptions. So a big day for the tight end, big day for the wide receiver group altogether. So let's focus on Bryce Young, okay? So there were a lot of people coming out and saying, you know, they didn't know if Bryce Young is going to be ready. You know, he didn't really impress a good bit of people in the spring game, and there was a lot of overreaction going on, right? And you're talking about Bryce Young, who sat behind Mac Jones last year, obviously didn't play a whole lot at all, got in the game towards the end. So he was never really put in a situation where he had to come out and start for Alabama, similar to how Mac Jones actually had to start for the Crimson Tide when Tua got hurt, in which we know that he actually played pretty well when he had to fill in for Tua. But Bryce Young didn't have that luxury to be able to come in, you know, going into this year already having started a football game before. So let's look at what he did. 27 of 38, 344 yards and 4 touchdowns. He had a QBR, which is a quarterback rating, of 94.2. Now, he became the first Tide quarterback to throw four touchdown passes in his starting debut. Did you just hear what I said? The first Tide quarterback to throw 4 touchdowns in his debut. He has never started a college football game. There was a lot of doubt. Will he be ready? Alabama's not going to have this same wide receiver core that they had last year when Mac Jones was there, which, by the way, that's true. That's true. Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, you know, those guys aren't there anymore. However, if you know Alabama like I know Alabama, which you should by now because you've just been watching the domination for the past, six plus years, you've been seeing how they've dominated, and you've seen the depth that Alabama has in each and every position across the board on the offense and the defensive side of the ball. So Bryce Young, here he is, young kid stepping in. He showed outstanding awareness and poise in the pocket to me. That game, he showed so much patience. And the moment just wasn't too big for him. You could tell even when he was pressured, he was able to step up in the pocket. He was able to elude defensive ends. He was able to call out blitzes and get the line shifted to the right protection. You know, and he really just sat back there and dished, wheeled and dealed, you know, and really picked the defense apart. And there was a lot of times where he could have actually tucked the ball and ran. But he decided to pull back and let the play open up, let the play continue to develop, find his wide receivers downfield for a big game rather than taking a, you know, what, 8 to 10 yard run, you get a 30, 40 plus yard pass play. That's intelligence right there. Like I said, the moment just wasn't too big for him. And he proved to me that he has a high football IQ, you know, with his decision making. You know, obviously, you got a lot of times where, you know, quarterbacks who are young in their first start, they get a little timid, they start off a little slow. But Bryce came out the gate swinging, and say what you want about, oh yeah, this is Miami and XYZ. This is still a quality opponent. Some people, you know, oh, if Miami has a chance to upset Alabama XYZ, this is still quality opponent, their top 25 opponent. I don't want to hear it. They were ranked number 14. It still counts as a top 25 win, regardless of whatever anybody has to say about it on a neutral site. And as everybody knows, this is not the same offense at all. We got all new faces. So they ball. You have to give credit where credit is due, and Alabama just picked up right where they left off. And the Tide just continued to roll. I mean, Bama, I'm going to say this right now. Bama is the clear number one team in college football. It's not even close. It's not close. There's not a team that I saw on Saturday, this past Saturday, there's not a team that I saw that would come within 25 points of Alabama right now. If you ask me, if Alabama was to take the field with any of these teams right now, nobody would come within 25 points of them. Easy. You call me crazy, but go watch. Go look at the highlights. Go look at these defenses that gave up 30-plus points that we're going to get a little bit more into. There's nobody touching Alabama right now in college football. You know it. I know it. They're, like I said, just deep at every position across the board. And they're poised and ready to make another national title run. Like I said before, Nick Saban, currently tied with Bear Bryant for 6 national championships. He's on the road to his 7th national championship to overtake Bear Bryant. So for the most of all time. So, like I said, man, get your popcorn ready because it's coming. It's going to be a good year for Alabama football. Believe that. Let's continue to move on, though. Let's keep it at college football and let's talk about the top 10 teams. So we're going to review the top 10 and then we're going to specifically focus on the top 4 and my thoughts about that. And what did we actually learn from week 1 of the college football season? So the current college football rankings, and this is the AP Top 25 poll. And again, I'm just going to go through the first 10, and then we're going to focus specifically on the top 4. So again, Alabama's at 1. Georgia moved up 3 spots to the number 2 spot after they knocked off Clemson 10-3 this past Saturday. Ohio State moves up a spot to the third to number 3. Oklahoma is number 4. They moved down 2 spots after their near upset against Tulane. Texas A&M moved up 1 spot to number 5. Clemson's number 6. They actually dropped down 3 spots after their loss to Georgia. 7 is Cincinnati. They moved up 1 spot. Number 8 is Notre Dame. They moved up 1 spot. Iowa State is number 2. I mean, number 9. They moved down 2 spots. Iowa is number 10, and they actually moved up 8 spots, which is pretty shocking. They actually had them above Penn State, who actually had a road win against Wisconsin. So I'm a little shocked about Iowa moving up 8 spots, but it is what it is. So let's specifically focus on the top 4 here. So Bama being at number 1, that's their clear number 1 team. There's no debate there. So Georgia, who moved up 3 spots to number 2, they're currently the number 2 team. I'm not mad at this at all. Now, looking at Georgia, they did struggle offensively against Clemson. They were only 46% on third down. They only averaged 4.5 yards passing per passing play, and then 3.9 yards per rush. So that's not impressive at all by any means. Now, the defense, who was the star of the show, they actually got 7 sacks on DJ, and they picked a pick 6 to actually that, which really was the game, and that actually happened earlier in the second quarter. So, aside from that, there was no production. I think their kicker actually missed the kick in the game as well for Georgia, and it just was not a great showing for the Georgia Bulldogs from an offensive standpoint. Now, defensive line, they were able to get pressure. They were able to make DJ very uncomfortable in the pocket. And that's a really good positive if you're Georgia, if you're coming out of this game. However, you're going to need to put up points. You know, if you're going to stick with teams like Alabama, you're going to have to put up points. And obviously, I know that they were having some injuries with the wide receivers. Pickens wasn't out there, and they were missing a couple of other pieces. But however, this is why you recruit. You know, this is why you go out here and you get guys that can step up. So when those guys are, you know, out, or if they have to come out of play, you could continue to keep rolling. You know, Kirby Smart and those guys, Georgia has been top 5 in recruiting, you know, over the every year. You know, they're always top in recruiting. So they have done a really good job recruiting, and now it's just really time to actually put that on the field and show whether or not you really legit have the depth that you think you have. But nevertheless, they won the football game, and that's why they sit at number 2, and I agree with that. And I actually wouldn't mind seeing another Alabama-Georgia national championship if you ask me. Some people may hate to see it, but I'm an SEC guy. I would love to see that again, another rematch. I mean, that right there, I could deal with that. I could definitely deal with that. Now let's look at Ohio State, who's number 3. C.J. Stroud actually struggled with his accuracy early on against Minnesota. However, he was able to bounce back with four touchdown passes all in the second half. Now, Ohio State did give up 31 to Minnesota, so that's something that we're going to have to watch because Minnesota actually had them on their heels, had them on the ropes, and they weren't able to really capitalize when they needed to and to get stops when they needed to. But Minnesota had Ohio State on the ropes, and that was they made it a very hostile environment to play in for C.J. Stroud's first start as Ohio State's quarterback. And then let's look at Oklahoma, who's number four. Now, this is questionable to have them at the fourth spot. Obviously, you know, they look very, very suspect. I mean, Spencer Rattler, he struggled in his game through two interceptions against Tulane. They gave up 35 points, and they actually should have lost this game, if you ask me. And I'm surprised that they didn't, because Tulane actually they had a long drive, scored a touchdown, and they got an off onside kick at midfield, and this is after that long drive, so the defense was already tired, but they just, you know, failed, obviously just poor execution with being able to move the ball down the field, and you know they forced themselves into a tough situation in a long fourth down. But Oklahoma very well could have lost this game, so for them to only fall two spots after that, the only reason why they're in the top four is because they didn't actually lose the game. But they definitely did not look like a top four team. They didn't look like it. I don't know, man. Oklahoma's suspect. They're suspect to me. Now, what did we learn? So what did we learn after this first week of college football? I learned five things. So, Bama has the best team top to bottom. Number two, Georgia's defense is legit. I mentioned that front, that defensive line, they're ferocious. They can get pressure on the quarterback, which is what you want to see from your defense. You create turnovers like that. You cause the opposing quarterback to make mistakes. You force them to make decisions faster than they want to, and you make it hard on the offensive coordinator. So their defense is legit. Number three, Ohio State's biggest strength is their backfield behind Minyan Williams and Master Teague. So Minyan Williams and Master Teague came up huge for Ohio State in that game, man. I mean, they balled out, specifically, especially Minyan Williams, who's a guy who's out there looking like Eddie George back in Ohio State. So, you know, continue to pay attention to that running game, because that's gonna help take a lot of pressure off of C.J. Stroud, which it did early on in the game when he was struggling. Number four, Oklahoma's overrated. Their defense is suspect. Again, the Big 12, not known for defense at all. But you giving up 31 points to Tulane. I mean, And you're talking about a team who they had ranked number two, Spencer Rattler, who's supposed to be the Heisman front runner, but now that has been overtaken by Bryce Young. Just after one performance. So, you know, that's something that you gotta, I don't know, man. Y'all pay attention. All I'm saying is pay attention, man. But and last but not least, Clemson, number five. Clemson has no offensive line right now. I mean, I'm not saying that they can't make the adjustments and they can't get better and they can't, you know, continue to improve. But right now, that offensive line is just bad, and they don't have a solid running game. It's something different about not having Travis Etienne out there, and you know, with the pressure that he took off, especially, you know, in times when Trevor Lawrence was struggling. You know, they could give the ball to Travis Etienne, and he could turn the game over by himself, you know, turn it around by himself single-handedly. But they don't have that anymore. And those receivers aren't as strong as, you know, in the past. So they're definitely going to have to make some adjustments going forward. But there's a long way to go. Now, let's shift gears here and let's talk NFL. So we have the Bucs and the Cowboys that are going to be kicking off the season on Thursday. And let's talk about who's going to win this game and who has the most pressure in Dallas right now heading into this season. So the Bucks open up as an 8-point favorite in this game at home. And a 69% chance to win, according to ESPN. Now, Dak Prescott will take the field for the first time since October 11th of 2020 when he broke his ankle against the New York Giants. Dak also suffered a right latissimus strain during training camp, so he's currently recovering from that, still kind of recovering. And this is a shoulder injury that they said could potentially linger throughout this entire season. So that's something that we're going to have to actually pay attention to. But they do return with Dak. You know, he'll be out there. Zeke will be out there. He slimmed down, lost some pounds. So I don't know if you guys have been watching Hard Knocks. He's looking a lot quicker and a lot smoother in the running game for them. And then obviously you got the defense who's going to be improved this year, especially with the addition of Micah Parsons. So we'll continue to kind of, you know, look and see how they progress throughout the year. Now, who's going to win the game? The answer to this question is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I got the Buccaneers winning this game by 14. I'm going over the spread. Tampa Bay, let's look at it, man. They're returning all their starters from last year. They're going to pick right back up where they left off. They're loaded across the board. If you don't believe me, let's look at the offense and the defense. I'll break it down even more for you. Offensively, you got Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, and they just added Giovanni Bernard. So you got a solid backfield. You got Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Tyler Johnson, Scotty Miller. Those are your receivers. And then you got two stud tight ends in O.J. Howard and Gronk. Offensively, there's not going to be a drop-off at all. And then you got Tom Brady, of course, leading the way. So there's not going to be a drop-off at all when it comes to the offense. Defensively, you got Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, Shaq Barrett, K.J. Britt, Levante David, Jason Pierre-Paul, Devin White, Carlton Davis, Jordan Whitehead, and Antoine Winfield Jr. Dude, these dudes are beasts, offensively and defensively. The Cowboys just have too many issues right now on their offensive line. Their starting guard, Zach Martin, is actually not going to be playing in this game due to COVID. Now, Zach Martin is the guy who is opening up all the holes for Zeke. He's not going to be out there. He's not going to be out there to protect Dak. He's the most important guy on their offensive line. He's not going to be out there. They also have a couple of other offensive tackles that are out. One of them is Brandon Knight. The other is Ty Niski. So they're both going to be out. I personally just think the Bucs defense is going to be too much for Dak and the Cowboys offense to handle. I mean, obviously, you know, and you have Dak in a situation where he hadn't played in so long. So he'll be out there and he's obviously in a situation where he feels like he has to prove himself. And to answer that question about who has the most pressure in Dallas, I think it's Dak Prescott, even more than Mike McCarthy, their head coach. Reason being is, you know, look at how everything, you know, has transpired over this time after, you know, all the talks and in the back and forth about the contract situation. He finally got the contract done after he declined one of the deals that was initially offered. They got, you know, he got his money, he got paid. Now, when you get paid like that, now it's about going out and proving your, you know, how much you actually worth. Are you worth that contract that you just got? When you get paid those type of dollars and when you get huge contracts like that, you have to go out and perform. So you feel the pressure with Dak Prescott because right now he's actually in a situation where he's like, you know what, I haven't played in so long. Now I'm going to go out here and I'm going to try to force the issue, obviously. I'm going to try to make, you know, I'm going to try to be the star out there. I just see him kind of going into this game trying to do a little too much more than what they're able to do. There are going to be times where he's going to force it. And But I do think that Dak Prescott will still go out there and make plays. However, I still think that this the pressure that the Bucs defense can get. We saw what they did to Pat Mahomes when Pat Mahomes was missing two of his offensive linemen. They put so much pressure on the quarterback, and it just makes it difficult. Now, if they could get the ball out quick, you know, get it out to CeeDee Lamb quick, get it out to Amari Cooper, you know, they can make some things happen. But overall, that defense is going to figure it out. You know, early on, it'll be a good game early on, but I just see the Buccaneers pulling away in this one. So that's my pick right there. So let's now talk about outside of this this season opener. What are the top games that I think are the games to watch in week one? And I'll give my picks for those games. So here are my top games to watch. I have five of them. So first and foremost, I have the Steelers going on the road to face the Bills. So how will Najee Harris look in this Steelers offense? You know, I'm interested to see how they're going to utilize him. Obviously, Najee Harris is a guy that can run between the tackles. He can also run outside the tackles, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So are they going to utilize him to his skill set? You know, how much of a presence will he have? How much will they use him? And will they be balanced on offense? Because last year, the Steelers were actually pretty predictable. You know, they got into a situation where, you know, people just knew that they couldn't run the football. And so that made it very hard down the stretch later on in the season, knowing that they were struggling running the ball. All they had was the passing game. So it made it a lot easier for defenses. And we saw what the Browns did to them in the wild card round, blew them out on their home field. So, and then also, you know, how would the Bills look coming off of an AFC championship game last year? You know, they were nearly there, could taste the Super Bowl, just weren't there. I mean, just couldn't pull it off. So how are they going to come out of the gate, and how are they going to look? The second, and for my picks for this game, I'm going to go with the Bills at home to win this game. I think that, you know, obviously Buffalo is a tough place to play, and I think that the Bills can win this game at home. Now the Browns at the Chiefs, that's my second game. So how will OBJ look in his return? You know, Odell Beckham, you know, he wasn't present in that divisional round when they played in Baker Mayfield, you know, and those guys just kind of had to go out there and do their thing. And they should have actually won that game. But after Pat Mahomes went out, they couldn't get a defensive stop and ended up losing the game. So and then how would the Browns defense perform against Kansas City's high powered offense? You know, the Browns, man, they're stacked on the defensive side of the football, man. They have a lot of talent from defensive line, linebackers to the DBs, all of that, man. Safeties, everybody is talented on this defense. So are they going to be able to slow Pat Mahomes down, keep him off the field? This is what's going to be the most important thing. How are they gonna perform? I'm gonna pick the Browns in this game. Call me crazy, but I'm gonna pick the Browns to go on the road and get this win. I think they have a solid running game that can help keep the clock rolling, get that time of possession rolling behind you know, Nick Chubb, obviously, and Kareem Hunt. I think Baker Mayfield has shown a lot of maturity. I think Odell Beckham will have a good game. Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, and I think that the Browns go into Kansas City and they steal this game. Number three, the Dolphins at the Pats. So this is my boy Tua versus my boy Mac, battle of the Alabama quarterbacks. We all know Mac Jones sat behind Tua, and you know when Tua, you know, jumped up, got that starting job after Jalen, and you know Mac Jones kind of had to wait and wait and wait. So now these guys get to go head to head. And it's going to be an exciting game. You know, what QB is actually going to show the best leadership between the two? You know, obviously Mac Jones has shown what type of leader that he is. Tua is a leader, but he still, you know, obviously he has some stuff that he's been developing on, after, you know, struggling a little bit coming off an injury, but now being over a year removed from that injury, Now, you know, Tua has shown a lot of improvement, especially in the preseason from what he's been showing. And Mac Jones has shown that he's not afraid of the moment as well. And he's confident in himself and his abilities, obviously, especially, you know, with a lot of people having that microscope on him right now, because they were talking about, you know, well, he was so used to throwing to wide open receivers at Alabama. But he has shown that he can throw and he can thread the needle on at the NFL level. So I'm just interested to see how he's going to go against a starting defense, you know, all the ones. And the Dolphins defense is going to be the perfect test, a divisional matchup, you know, to start off. But he will be at home. However, I'm going to pick the Dolphins to win his game. I think that they just have too much for the pass to handle. I think defensively they're really, really good. I think offensively they'll have a lot of success, and I think that they'll come out of New England with a win. But I do think that this game will be a close game. Number four, I got the Packers at the Saints. So how is Aaron Rodgers going to look after all of the offseason drama? Obviously, we know what happened there. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Is he going to retire? Is he going to demand a trade? It was just a lot going on this offseason, a lot of distraction. Obviously, the Packers were getting Jordan Love prepared to be the starting quarterback. You know, Matt LaFleur and those guys were panicking. And then all of a sudden you got Aaron Rodgers a few weeks before, you know, they started to get things going. He shows up, has a meeting with the general manager, and here he is back at Green Bay for what I feel and believe is going to be his last ride in Green Bay, no matter what happens. So he's going to, you know, obviously look back at what Jordan and those and Pippen and those guys did. You know, they knew it was going to be the last season, and they wanted to chase the championship. And obviously that's what Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers want to do. So no matter what happens after this year, I still think that he's going to be gone. Now the Packers are going to be without two of their all pro offensive linemen. Their left tackle, David Bakhtiari, he's out 6 weeks. Still has that ACL rehab that he's doing, so he won't be there. That's Aaron Rodgers' best pass protector. And he's going to also be without his center, Corey Lindsey, who's out. So two rookies are going to be starting in the place for Green Bay for the first time since 2006. So that's going to be interesting to watch. You know, watch the passing game, watch the running game. So how are these two rookie offensive linemen going to do? That's going to be something that's going to be interesting to pay attention to. You know, and how will Jameis Winston look? You know, obviously there's no Michael Thomas out there. You know, it's now in the hands of Jameis. You know, obviously he still has Alvin Kamara. Traquan Smith is injured, so Marquez Callaway is going to be that leading target for Jameis, and they've built a connection, as you can see in preseason. So, you know, how is everything going to turn out for them? So I'm going to actually pick the Saints to win this game. Y'all know I can't pick the Packers, man. I mean, why would I do that? I'm a Bears fan. I mean, come on, let's be honest. But no, honestly, I think that I'll pick the Saints in this game. You know, specifically, I think that that offensive line, those two rookies be on the offensive line, that's going to make it tough for Aaron Rodgers, especially, you know, you got guys like Cameron Jordan on the defensive line for the Saints. I think that's going to make life a lot more difficult than what Aaron Rodgers wants it to be, you know, especially with the Saints being at home. I think that in that environment, I think it'll be tough. So we'll see what happens, but I'm going to pick the Saints at home. And then last but not least, the Bears at the Rams. I'm looking to see, you know, how is Andy Dalton and the Bears' new look offense going to perform? You know, obviously there's a lot of talk that's been going on between whether or not, you know, is Justin Fields going to start week one? Justin Fields should be the starter. Andy Dalton, you know, if they can't put up points, that's going to be the interesting thing to watch in this game, because that's where the Bears struggled last year. They couldn't put up points. They couldn't get any offensive production, settled for a lot of field goals, couldn't score touchdowns in the red zone. So now Andy Dalton's objective is to get the ball down the field, get it in the end zone. Because if you can't, they're going to have to put Justin Fields in there a lot faster than what they want. And obviously, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, they're trying to let Fields develop and let him come along as Andy Dalton kind of takes the reins for now and until they can eventually put him in this year. But I personally still think that I've said this from the beginning. I think that at least by week five, I think we'll see Justin Fields starting for the Chicago Bears. I personally do. Now, like I said, Andy Dalton's not a bad quarterback. But I still think what Justin Fields can bring to the table with his ability to escape the pocket, extend the plays, and hurt you with his legs. So he has to he forces the defense to respect the fact that he can run, which opens up a lot of things that you can do. I think that they're obviously it's not a matter of them realizing that because they already know it. It's just a matter of them doing it when they feel like he's comfortable. And I would imagine it being a home game, which would be his first game that he start, because, you know, you have the crowd behind you. So I don't see them actually putting him, having his first start being on the road. I think they'll have him starting at home, so have that crowd riled up behind him, and he can feel, you know, obviously feel less pressure at home. And can the Bears defense return to that 2018, you know, form, you know, where they were creating a lot of turnovers, they were scoring touchdowns on defense, they were really dominant, you know, the best defense in the league. So can they return to that form? You know, obviously, you know, they're healthy right now, so coming into this game is going to be important for them to get pressure on Matthew Stafford, and it's going to be important for them to really not get beat deep, because obviously we know with Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, guys on this offensive side of the ball, they have some weapons on their side. Now, they are going to be without Cam Akers, a running back who's out for the season, but they still have the capability to have some good production from the offensive side of the ball. And then last but not least, you know, how is Matthew Stafford going to look with this Rams offense? This is the most talent that he's ever been around, has ever been around him since he's been in the NFL. So just interested to see, you know, how he comes out. But y'all know what time it is, man. I'm taking my Bears to win this game on the road. I think that the defense will show up. I think that the offense will put up some points. And I think that we'll come out of Los Angeles with a win, man. So bear down. But hey, that's all I have for y'all, man. I appreciate everybody jumping in again, joining the podcast. Let me talk some good, healthy sports talk, man. Keep rocking with me. I'll be back next week. We'll talk about the results, man, of what happened this upcoming weekend in the NFL and in college football. We'll review all of that next week and more. But hey, keep it locked. Keep rocking with me. I appreciate all the love and support. Peace. Roll Tide. Bear down, baby. We out.